Did Matt Sick at some point say there's no way Kevin King will be on the team? Because that's what he said about Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones is back. So now I'm a little worried that maybe we can blame Greg for your frustration, Jesse, that Kevin King is back. Maybe at some point he said, Kevin King, no way he's going to be back. We'll find out. He's not here to talk Packers, but he can, because that's how versatile he is. From, I assume, American Family Fields of Phoenix, or in the general vicinity thereof, it's our teammate Greg Matzik on Wilde and Tausch. Gregory, good morning. How are you?
I'm like 0 for 100 here on the Packers offseason. I thought they'd restructure the Rodgers contract, which I guess could happen. I thought Kevin King would find another team. I thought Aaron Jones would go elsewhere. I guess I got the Corey Lindsley one right, but that was so obvious. I'm not doing well with my offseason predictions. My chart is falling apart here, Jason.
Well, I don't think any of us thought we would be sitting here on the 23rd of March with the Packers up against the salary cap, having restructured a bunch of other contracts, but not the one of the reigning NFL MVP. So don't feel bad about that one. And don't feel bad about the Kevin King one, because I was in your club. I thought if they were going to have a corner who they weren't confident in or had reservations about, they would just take someone else's corner and at least have someone new that they weren't 100% sure of. And instead, Kevin King returns on a reported one-year, $6 million deal. We'll see what the structure is like. Greg, one more thing about the Packers before we talk Brewers, since that's why you're out in Arizona. As a Packers fan, as someone who follows the team as closely as you do, are you worried about drama being on the horizon between the team and the reigning MVP?
I feel like there already is some built-in drama, and this just adds another layer or another chapter to it. It feels to me, I mean, as this plays out, or, you know, the inaction and inactivity, it just leaves everybody, including the quarterback, in this charcoal gray area of what is my future really going to be as a member of the Packers. So I guess I look at it, Jason, if there is no restructure, I guess I go back to thinking this will be Aaron Rodgers' final year as a starter in Green Bay. But again, that's not with a high degree of certainty. It's just, I guess, the way I think the arrow is pointing. I think clarity is what we're all looking for here, and we just don't seem to have it. Or maybe this is what's become clear. The Packers are not going to restructure his contract, and they see Jordan Love as a worthy successor to Aaron Rodgers, and it's only a matter of time before it happens, perhaps sooner than later.
As we're talking with Greg Matzik, and we'll get to the Brewers momentarily, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that the Packers have reduced Adrian Amos's base salary and gained salary cap space by adding voidable years to Mason Crosby's contract. So they have made two more moves with contracts to create salary cap space, and that they are now roughly $8 million under the salary cap, and none of those moves have been related to the quarterback's contract. So
it was for $6 million for Kevin King. Yeah! Oh, genius!
What a fun time to be on this show. What a fun time I'm having this morning. Greg, I'll switch it over to Brewers. Tell me about Lorenzo Cain. Like, that's not a question. Just tell me about him. How's he doing? What does he look like? I'm delighted. I've always been delighted by Lorenzo Cain, his outlook on life, all of it. So tell me about Lorenzo Cain.
No, he's a fascinating guy. He's back and he wants to be back. This is not just a, hey, I need to close up my career the right way. No, he's anxious to play baseball. So his time off last year was largely due to family, uncertainty with COVID, and what he said, reconnecting with his faith. So it's been an off season, or really a season, I guess, doing all of that, and now he's back. The thing with Lorenzo Cain, and you guys have probably noticed this by watching him, boy, it looks like he's in a pretty good deal of pain with every step he takes. And sometimes that shows up during a game. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, robbing a player of a home run, right? He's leaping over the fence and hauling one back. The guy is unbelievable. He's still got some magic in him. And I guess what will be really interesting to see is how he and Jackie Bradley Jr. complement each other, how they spell one another, and what the outfield combinations are going to be. I don't look at Avisiel Garcia as like an odd man out, but I do think there are going to be times where you'll see Jackie Bradley Jr. in right, Lorenzo Cain in center, and Christian Yelich in left. He's back. I don't see 140 games being played by Lorenzo Cain. I think you have to have him kind of on a pitch count for a variety of reasons, but the guy is just a joy to watch do his job, right? Always smiling. You always know when he's in the room. He has a presence about him that I don't think has been felt in that locker room since Prince Fielder, which is saying a lot. They've had some great players come in and out, but he's a joy to watch do his job. That's the best thing I can say about Lorenzo.
So I will admit I enjoyed your video compilation that you did as you got there yesterday, maybe the day before. I can't remember when you got to Phoenix. So I enjoyed that video, but I would also like to say that I enjoy Sophia Minert's videos as well from there. And the thing I keep seeing on her Instagram stories, on her Twitter, is Christian Yelich hitting bombs. And I gotta say, I've always enjoyed watching Christian Yelich hit bombs. Significantly more than I enjoyed watching whatever it was that I watched him do last season. So where is Christian Yelich? How is he feeling? And do we think he is going to regain that MVP form this season?
Well, he kind of has to. He doesn't have to be an MVP, but he has to be closer to the MVP than what he saw last year. And it's funny, talking to Yelich, he will say, he'll be the first one to say it, he was terrible last year. But so was the entire NL Central from an offensive perspective. It's strange to go back and look at the numbers. Orlando Arcia had one of the better years of any Brewers offensive player last year. And, boy, if he could duplicate that, then the Brewers might be in a really good spot. But he did all the right things. He's bulked up a little bit, too. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He doesn't look stiff or rigid. He just looks like he put on some muscle in the offseason, as Avisiel Garcia was losing 36 pounds. Christian was gaining a little bit. But it doesn't look like it's affected him in terms of his movement, his speed, things like that. He still looks like Gumby at the plate, right? He's got incredible flexibility and torque that he creates with his body, all that stuff. Not to get too esoteric and in the weeds, but he looks like Christian Yelich to me in the glimpses I've had of him this spring. And there haven't been many. If you've blinked, you've maybe missed Christian Yelich play. But he's saying all the right things. He's done all the right things. And I think everybody here knows he's a far better player than what he showed last year.
Talking with Greg Matzek down in Phoenix, and I just want to get this out. I have never enjoyed the description of a diet more than Avisiel Garcia's description of cutting out everything except on the weekend. That he lost all this weight, and his diet was, you know, I'm going to not do any of that stuff except on the weekend. I got to have some salt and some sugar. I have a good time on the weekend. Have you ever heard of obviously results, right? Like he lost, 25, 30 pounds. But I'm just fascinated by it, Greg. This feels like my kind of diet. Like if I want to lose some LBs, I got to figure out what he's doing.
So maybe he should have started, and maybe you could help him with this, off-season eats.
MLB, I guess MLB weekend eats. I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to consult for a figure, of course.
I get the feeling there would be a stark contrast between Monday through Friday, and then what Saturday and Sunday bring. So you've got the Brontosaurus burger on Saturdays, and then I don't know this cactus I'm looking at for Monday through Friday. One cactus. That's it. That's all you're eating. it's worked, right? I mean, he looks fast. He doesn't look stiff and rigid. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of a warning sign that the Brewers added to the outfield. To his credit, though, I'll tell you what, along with Garrett Mitchell, the rookie out of UCLA, if you look at the numbers here, Avisiel Garcia has hit the ball as well as anybody this spring, and he had a two-run home run to the opposite field yesterday, just down the right field line, a towering shot. So he's got the pop. There's no doubt about that. He plays a pretty good outfield, but they need more out of him too. And more could be less if you factor in the weight consideration.
Talking with our friend Greg Matzik, who is not stiff or rigid. Is that what we've now described two players as not being so far during our time with Greg?
Oh, yes, I am. I went for a hike yesterday, Jay. I am a little stiff. I am a little rigid. My body doesn't want to do this kind of stuff anymore.
Welcome to middle age that many of us have already been in and Eric has to look forward to. Greg, how long are you out there, and what are you looking for besides the beauty of Phoenix and Camelback and restaurants that have been torn down, as I saw in your Twitter feed? Well, how long are you there, and what do you want to get out of this in terms of both personally and the feel you get for this Brewers team that's a little over a week away from opening the season?
Yes, RIP to the former Sushi Loco. Apparently the branding to Sushi Patron didn't take. That building is now leveled and something else is going in. However, if you want to catch a nice meal about a half mile down the road near American Family Field to Phoenix, there is a freestanding Sizzler, which now has dine-in options available. So there's plenty of opportunity out here from a food perspective. I am trying hard not to step on a cactus, something Francisco Rodriguez did several years ago, and it cost him a couple of weeks. They were still digging needles out 2 weeks after he had stepped on a cactus. Entertaining story from a few years ago. This is a huge week, though. This is like, from an NFL comparison, this is like the week after preseason game number three. You've already had one cut, if you go back to how the NFL used to do things. There's only a couple of position battles still going. You kind of know what the roster is going to look like. That's where we're at here for spring training. So you might hear a name like Billy McKinney, who had two hits yesterday. You don't know anything about Billy McKinney. That's fine. But I'll tell you this, he's out of options. He's 26. He is fighting like mad to make this team. And if he doesn't, who knows where he goes? So there are a handful of guys in that category, Jason, and you would love this, right? This is where really the interesting storylines develop, where it's kind of all or nothing for Billy McKinney. And then Daniel Vogelbach. I get the feeling he's hoping that MLB all of a sudden says, hey, the DH is coming back. I get the feeling the Brewers are hoping for that as well. Because he's not a versatile guy. He's a first baseman whose best position is hitter. And right now the DH isn't in the National League. Looks like they're just sort of trying to buy as much time as possible with the thought that maybe things will change. But it becomes a really interesting week. There will be good news delivered. There will be bad news delivered. I equate it to that time in between preseason game number three and four in the NFL.
Well, I can tell you this, Vogelbach has one fan in me because we're both, we look similar and neither one of us is very versatile. Greg, enjoy your time in Phoenix. Watch out. Don't eat or step on cacti. And we look forward to further reports from you from American Family Fields of Phoenix. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks very much.
That is Greg Matzik.